Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Amazing, it's the last session.
Yeah.
I find that sad, but you know. Just a little story that about trying to be helpful to people, take away trays and things like that. I was in a restaurant, it's probably about 6 months ago now, I just finished my lunch, and I thought, oh, I'll be very helpful, and I'll go and put the tray that had a soup, it had soup and a plate on it, and, you know, all the spoons and things. I'll be very helpful, and I'll go and put it onto the place where they collect it. I'll do that service for them. I felt really quite good about doing that. Anyway, I got to where you put it into the cradle, whatever it is, and the thing slipped on the floor, crashed over everything in front of 200 people. So actually, since then, I haven't actually done anything like that. Anyway, that's not what I'm going to talk about, failure in that lens. But what I do want to talk about is prayer. So if we could just turn to Ephesians chapter 6, just as an introduction. And we were looking at some of the armour of the Lord. And we only mentioned two things, basically, about the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith from this list. But verse 18 says this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And notice he also says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So even Paul was honest enough to say, please pray for me. And, you know, we need to pray for each other. The supplication for all saints, notice that, for all saints. And the word supplication basically is where you're praying to somebody greater than you, asking them a favor. Okay, that's the basic, simple meaning of supplicating, to supplicate, to ask somebody who's much greater than you, and it's like you get down on your knees to do that. So that's supplication, and we're to supplicate the Lord, and of course he is very kind to us for all saints. And one of the things I just was talking to Peter and asked that perhaps towards the end of this meeting, we'll have a time where we can just pray for each other, perhaps just give thanks. We'll see how it goes, but I hope you'd like to do that as well. But so I want to talk about prayer, and I spoke about a couple of weeks ago about this subject, about prayer, and I rather grandly called it prayer that moves God's heart. Prayer that moves God's heart. And prayer that moves God's heart has to, first of all, move my heart, hasn't it? Is that right? It's got to move your heart. Otherwise, your prayers will count for very little, okay? But God wants his heart to be moved. Thinking about that, I want to go into Romans 8. I'm sure your mind's gone there, some of you already, with this Romans 8. You know, the disciples said, teach us to pray, Lord. They didn't say actually to Jesus, teach us how to pray. They said, teach us to pray. God has to teach us that in everything, the answer, he is the answer to everything. Teach me to pray to him. That I pray to him first. I look to him first. And of course, when we look in chapter 8 of Romans, we find that the praying person, the intercessor, okay, in intercession, the intercessor is in your hearts. If you've been born again, as in Romans 8, as soon as you come to this in Romans 8, where you know that you are born again of God, where he's come alive in you, can I put it like that? That, you know, I'll read from verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we, you have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's the basis of praying to our Father. That actually, for the first time in our lives, when the Holy Spirit comes to us and anoints us and fills us, we discover that God is our Father, and we pray to him as a father, not as just somebody who's out there that we don't know, but as a father. And we cry, Abba, Father. I well remember back when we had the conferences at Cliff. Anybody remember Cliff?
Yes.
Good, there are some people who are older than me, or as old as me, or something like that. But I can remember one guy who had been in the fellowships for many, many years, sat quietly and everything. But on this particular occasion, God really spoke to him and ministered to his heart by the Spirit through the squeaking. And you suddenly heard him, not bellow quite, but speak loudly, Father! And it was a word of release to him. It was a word of release to him. It is, you know, just that he discovered the fatherness of God. You know, what? How wonderful for us to be able to pray that we're not praying to somebody who's austere. We're praying to a father-like person, and he wants to be discovered as a father who loves us. And prayer, if we're praying really deeply, we get to discover that he is that father. And I for some time, I've been speaking to a friend over 5 or 6 years now. I've had a one-to-one with this person, and we would have a session every couple of weeks, and we would talk about things from the Bible and things like that. And he would end the prayer. You know, I get him to pray at the end, and he would start. He would say, "God, can you thank you for this?" He would say, "God, thank you for this, and thank you for that, and thank you for everything else." But then about a year or two ago, he began to say, Father, Father. And I knew that something, his relationship had changed. So prayer introduces us, I guess, to the Father. But if you look at verse 8, if we look at it, verse 8, I'll read from, did you know? Now you can blame, I was going to say Derek again, but I won't say Derek. Perhaps you want me to say Derek, but Roger. He mentioned last night about groaning. Didn't you, Derek? See if he forgives me. He mentioned about groaning. Did you know that groaning is part of prayer? Groaning, when you don't know how else to express anything. Okay, let's just read what it says in Romans 8, verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain. Now there are people in pain, groaning and travailing together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. So with the first fruits of the Spirit, the very first things of the Spirit, is that we ourselves groan within ourselves. Well, what an extraordinary thing is that the first indication that God is moving in your life And, that you are born again is that you begin to groan deeply. Do you remember when Jesus came to Lazarus? Okay, it says that he groaned. Is that right, Roger? He says that he groaned at that on that occasion. He groaned inwardly. He groaned. It's the first indication that you begin to get. I don't know whether you call it growing pains or whatever, but you begin to get that thing of the spirit where you begin to groan, and all that's in you starts to move in prayer unto God. It's quite remarkable how it is. So, and it goes beyond your own limitations with your tongue, with your mind. How do you actually pray for somebody who's going through the depths of agony? How do you do it? You cry for them, don't you? Is that right? It's crying, it's groaning, it's grieving, it's all those things that God puts into you by the Spirit. And it says here go a bit more from verse 26. Now he's talking about this groaning. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Now, actually, we don't know how to pray, because it says we don't know how what we should pray for as we ought. So is that true? Are you sometimes utterly clueless as to how you're to pray for somebody? Yeah, we're honest. But this scripture says that actually the Holy Spirit comes and prays for us. Now, not just for us, but he actually intercedes in us. He does the praying for us. Can you understand that? It says so that as we begin to stutter our way through things, as we find our way in prayer, and sometimes we might just actually sit in silence. We don't know how to do it. And then something might just quicken, and we're led as to how to pray, or what to pray for, or who to pray for. These are wonderful things. But actually, as we begin to move out to God, what happens is the Holy Spirit comes in, all right, and he takes over the intercession. Can you understand that? It's like, rather, you might start your journey. Let's do an analogy with cars or something like that. Imagine you start your journey with what's one of the worst cars we can have today? Who? A Skoda. I think they're better than they were. But imagine they used to have a really bad reputation. Okay, I'll tell you, when I went to Cyprus for somebody's wedding, we hired a car. It was 600, a 600cc, and now 600cc, and we had to climb some hills. We nearly didn't get to the top. Okay, you know, we were just so grateful we got to the top, because we could coast down to the bottom of the hills. But imagine that your prayer's a bit like that. But imagine that somebody in a Rolls Royce. What's the best car nowadays? What would you say? A Jaguar? Skoda? Not a Skoda. No, not at all. But a Tesla? How about a Tesla with all its, you know, £50,000, and there you are. But you see, sorry, rubbish, he says. But anyway, imagine that actually the Spirit comes in like that. That's what this is saying. That's what this is saying. That actually he jointly helps. He doesn't leave it all entirely up for us. The word is jointly helps us. Okay, you have to do your part. You have to find your way, and you have to ask for to start your praying. And it says, so he jointly helps. He comes into our infirmities. Our weakness is in prayer. For we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us. He does this for us. He intercedes not just for us, but for our friends. He intercedes for them with groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you come to that experience where actually there's something going on deep in your heart that is, that you know God is working in your heart and you know God is praying in you, but you don't know what it is? You don't always have to say words. You don't always have to say words. But you always have that Spirit that is alive in you that is praying and deeply moved by everything. And one of the things I was going to say as a start, that the one thing that everybody can do is what? Pray. Everybody, even people who can't use their voice, because when the Holy Spirit, the thing about prayer is it's not outward, it is an inward thing. Okay, it is quite wonderful how God works. The intercession of the Holy Spirit, the interceding of the Holy Spirit. So here we go. So the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts, that's the Father, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What prayer is this? That we suddenly find that our prayer goes into top gear. All right, into top gear. And we know that we've been heard by the Lord. Have you ever experienced that, where you just know that your prayer has been heard? It is quite wonderful, quite wonderful. And God is very patient with us. But it's not where we have this list. You know, I sometimes worry about for churches and our church herself, that we have a time when we'll have a prayer meeting tonight. Okay? We'll have a prayer meeting. Oh, no, we have a prayer meeting on Thursdays. We can't do it tonight. We have prayer meetings Thursdays. You see, and I think, well, what if the Holy Spirit actually wanted to pray in you today? Yeah. What about it? Yeah. We so compartmentalize, yes. If I can put it like that, and we compartmentalize the Holy Spirit in a way, and he's so gracious that he bears with us. But we must take him out of the box that we put him in. And, you know, whatever your next Sunday morning meeting, I bet you most of us think, well, it's going to be a lovely time of worship and there's going to be somebody preaching. But do we ever think that perhaps the Holy Spirit will take it over and pray? Mm-hmm. I'm only speaking to myself and my own church. You know, these are wonderful things, that the Spirit can pray anywhere, through anybody, at any time. That's quite wonderful. So here it is, that the Spirit, he comes and he knows, and you know, that your prayer has been heard. Now, I just want to broaden this out a bit, because I just want to talk a bit more about this intercession thing. Intercession, it basically is where your prayers are coming between two people, between you and God. That's what intercession means. You are interceding with God. You are talking with God. He is talking with you, and so on and so forth. It is a personal thing, but it's going on deeply in your heart. You know this. You don't have to say it anywhere. I don't know if you've ever... My wife, when we were married, we so knew each other. She knew all about me when I was actually about to do something that I shouldn't do. She just had that intelligence to know. And I just, she just gave me a look, you know. And I mean, often it was when I was speaking in church and I was saying something and I was going on and rambling on, and she'd go. But you see, this is the thing, the familiarity of the Holy Spirit. I don't mean familiar in the wrong sense, but he knows us through and through, and he knows the Father through and through. And how wonderful he is that he comes to our spirit and mingles our spirit with his spirit. That's the thing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Your spirit, born again, it now intermingles with the Holy Spirit, or his spirit intermingles with yours. It's quite wonderful. But I want to just give some examples of intercession, because there are examples of interceding. So I just want us to turn to Genesis, please. And the first account of intercession is through Abraham. And if you look at chapter 18, okay, so this is the story. Chapter 18 is the story of the Lord coming to Abraham and talking to him. If you look at the end of the chapter, it says that, see, if just for a minute, just look at the end of the chapter. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. God, you know, the root of intercession, the root of prayer, is that when you are in communion with God, when you're in communion with God, that's a wonderful thing. You know, that's where it springs from. And here, this story is where the three, well, it says the three men stood by him, came to him, and he's sitting in his tent door. It's a hot day, he's under the tree. All these things actually speak something about Jesus for us, sitting under the tree, okay? Anyway, they come, and he's sitting in his tent door, and they've come to tell Abraham some really good news. Do you know what the good news was? Yeah, gonna have a child. Yeah, 99-year-old man. Yes. And apparently Sarah was listening in on the conversation or whatever. There wasn't much conversation. It was God doing it. But God had come to tell him really good news about the birth. Okay. It's like, so when God comes to commune with us, you know, I hope you actually commune with the Lord. I hope, and I'm not just talking about communion. I'm talking about where he communes one-to-one with you. You might not need to speak anything out loud. You might need to speak out loud. You might want to say, Father, this is wonderful, or whatever. You might want to get excited about it, or whatever it is. But actually, he'll speak to you. Gently, hot perhaps, or whatever it is, he'll commune with you and he'll delight your heart and he'll draw you out. And I find that he takes the initiative on prayer. That's the thing. You don't take the initiative on prayer. He takes the initiative in praying. But you will follow him, as we've heard this morning, that we want to do it as, you know, to take the leading of the Lord. And as the Lord quickens something in your heart, so you follow that and you start to pray. And so here he is. He comes and he communes and he has a wonderful time. And then the three men, they start and turn their faces to where? To Sodom. And who has arrived in Sodom? Lot, his nephew. Okay. Now, this type of prayer that you find in chapter 18 is supplication. This is where Abraham was asking God for a favor. Okay, supplication, wonderful supplication. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter out. I'm sure you've read it a number of times and been blessed by it. But you know that it says that Abraham, first of all, sorry, Paul, I'm going to move out of the way a minute. Is that all right? First of all, Abraham stood before the Lord. Now that God had put something of boldness in him. So we're praying, we need to be bold with the Holy Spirit. And God, I'm going to make, you're the, he's God. All right, okay. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to stand up. No, you don't want him to stand up. But he stands before the Lord. He just stands before the Lord. If you look at the scripture really carefully, he just stands there in the way. And he's wondering what's God going to do. Because in his heart, God's put this in his heart, he wants to pray for Lot. He wants to pray for him. It's all in his being. This is where he's going to pray from, right from his deep, because he doesn't want Lot to be destroyed, because he loves him. Is that right?
Yeah.
And he stands before God, Lord, Lord. But then, he just has that, knows that he can actually move forward and pray and open his mouth. Okay, so he starts with reverence and he pleads, and you know, he says, and when he prays with the supplication, spirit of supplication in him, what he prays is that on the character of God. Now, the character of God is righteous. Okay, is that right?
Yeah.
He says, Lord, and actually, Abraham, God says about Abraham, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm going to do? And because Abraham brought his children up well, and he followed the laws and everything, God says, I will show him what I'm going to do. And sometimes prayer for other people who are in need, God has to give a revelation of what their need is.
Mm.
Okay? He has to give a revelation. Okay? So here he is. I will not hide. And some of the things, you know, a revelation is something where God discloses that which is needful. And part of intercession for you and me is where God puts his finger on what the problem is, and we pray for that problem. Okay? And so God had said to Abraham about Sodom, what it was, and he was going to go and see what the city was, if it was, the city was as bad as it seems. Okay? So Abraham stands in front of the Lord and he says, it's not like the righteous God to kill all the city. What if there are 50 people there? You know the story?
Yeah.
You know the story? So immediately, he's coming on the basis of God's righteousness. And prayer and intercession is always on the basis of God's righteousness and his dealings with us. Wonderful. And of course, God says to him, I won't for 50. And then he says, and this is really bold, and this is the wonderful thing about intercession. When you know that God is listening to you, and you can pray a bit more, you can get a bit bolder. What about this, Lord? But you're not actually being rude to God, demanding it.
Yeah.
You actually know that God wants you to pray like this.
Yeah.
He wants you to take hold of that.
Yeah.
I mean, the number of times that people have been saved in the Bible because somebody's being bold enough to pray, bold prayers to save their country or save their life, is wonderful.
Yeah.
So Moses, Abraham says, what if there are
45? Okay, that's all right. And he goes, right, I'm 40. What's the next number? Anybody know? 30. Next number?
20.
Yeah. Next number?
10.
Does it go any further?
No.
No. Because he knows the boundaries. He knows the boundaries. That's part of prayer. You know what God will accept. He's just involved with God in all this, praying for people. You know how far you can go, and you know when to stop praying. It will just stop the intercessory party. And you, of course, you know the end of the story, that God, there were two angels that went to Sodom. But the wonderful thing about this, although the city was rotten through and through, and there weren't 10 people, there were only, excuse me, do you know how many people there were in Sodom?
3 and 4.
4.
4. Just Lot and his wife and his two daughters, not even his sons-in-law. Just 4, but God saved them. How about that? Isn't that grace? That's grace. So that's supplication, that's prayer, that is, you're supplicating for somebody else. There's another prayer that I want to turn to. What time are we? We're not going to have much time for praying for people. So I'll try and be quick. Just look in Exodus, please. And Exodus 17. And this is different prayer. And this is where, this is the battle, this is battle now, okay? This is where the people of Israel were attacked by the Amalekites, Amalek. And I'm sure you know the story, okay? And here I am, I'm asking more questions. Who went up to the top of the mountain to pray? Who is in the battle, doing the battle?
Joshua.
Okay, picture that we talked about battle and everything. Here it is, Joshua's fighting the battle, and those three men, who are the three men? That was a bit of a mumble. I'm being a real school teacher today. I'm back in the classroom, thank goodness. Who are they? Moses, Aaron. Yes, okay, so three of them. So here we get that, where you've got three people involved in intercession here. Okay, so intercession can be something that God is one-to-one, but intercession can also be where it's other people. And you know the story, how when he lifted his hands up, Joshua's winning? Have you ever tried to lift your hand up for more than a minute? Have you ever tried? Some people go to the gym and then show off that they can hold their hand up for a long time. Okay? But you couldn't do that. And of course, so Aaron and her held his hands up to the Lord. Three of them doing this. It's a wonderful picture of the heavenlies, in the heavenlies, top of the mountain. And three people, God himself, of course. Wonderful. But the point I want to make about this is right at the end of this chapter, it says this, verse 13, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, for he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation,
Now, the translation of that last bit. If you have a Bible, it might say this in the margin. It says, actually, because the hand against the throne of God, it says actually that this intercession, they had put the hand on the throne of God. Now, not physically, of course, but when interceding, when intercession, you are actually not only communing with God one-to-one or group or whatever, but you're putting your hand on the throne of God. In other words, you're touching God. How wonderful for prayer. I want my prayer to touch God's heart every time, to touch his throne, to go right to his throne and be heard, where he must respond. I want that. Hallelujah. He wants that, where he must answer. And he's a righteous God. Because if you have really touched his heart and made your case, made the other person's case really strong and cried out, God in his righteousness will answer you. Bless the Lord, you will touch him. He's not such a hard person that he'll ignore you, but his throne. You'll touch him right in his throne. And so, of course, so this is a wonderful picture of God's complete ability to win the battle. I've just forgotten what I called that. That's right. It's prevailing prayer. That's what I'm saying. It's prevailing prayer. Now the last thing. So we've got this where, you know, it prevails with God. Intercession. Just the last one is into Acts, quickly. Acts chapter 4, other prayer, and the intercession. Acts chapter 4. And it's where the church, where Peter and John have come out of the prison and they've been whipped and everything like that. And they come out of the church. Okay, and they come to the church, and they have a spontaneous prayer meeting, nothing planned. Okay, and I wanted to say that the most effective preaching, or the most effective praying. Sorry, I'm moving again, Paul. The most effective praying is when it's spontaneous, I think. Everything else is good, of course, but when it's really powerful is when the Holy Spirit suddenly takes hold of it and it goes right to heaven itself. It's wonderful. You know, I've known moments when suddenly it's the Holy Spirit that's taken over. And it's the same for prayer, when the Spirit of God suddenly prays dynamically. It's wonderful. So I'll just read this for you. So they come out and being let go, verse 23, I'll do it as quickly as possible. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against your holy child Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and your counsel determined before to be done. And then it says in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. You know why? This was corporate prayer for a whole church to do it. The whole church at Rora, your whole church. Imagine all together oneness of the Spirit. And the thing is, what they were certain about was the sovereignty of God in all the things that had happened to Jesus, in all the things that were happening to John and Peter. They said, this is your determined will, would you believe? They rose in faith. It wasn't that they were cowed by it, but it was utterly your what you have determined. The sovereignty of God came to the fore, and that's when part of intercession is in praying that actually you get to that, it's your will, Lord. It's your will that's happening, okay? It's your will, Father. You have determined this. And to pray for yourself, come to the place in your own praying when you're interceding with him or he's doing something in you, and you come to that place of rest and peace and say, your will be done, Lord. This is your will. Your will be done. That's a tremendous answer to prayer. That's a tremendous place of rest. It is quite wonderful where you stop fighting. Hallelujah. I think I've said enough. I've only skipped just the surface of things, really. But just to encourage you that, you know, your prayers, let the Holy Spirit rule in your prayers. Let the Holy Spirit come and help you. And amen. So, as I said, I'd like us to have some time that we can pray for each other, pray for the weekend, not the weekend, it's been a whole long weekend that we've had together, just in thanks. Is that all right? We can do that. Lord, I just want to, by the way, just to let you know, I've got this book, R.T. Kendall. Anybody heard of R.T. Kendall? So he's written a number of books, and I've just picked this up, and I've started to read it. It said, did you think to pray? Did you think to pray? Now, so far, I've read the first two chapters, and it's pretty good. But so, you know, if you're interested, R.T. Kendall, did you think to pray? I'll leave it on here if anybody wants to have a look at it. Okay, Lord, I just thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. And I just pray that, Lord, the things that we've heard over this last weekend, Lord, we thank you for it, Lord. And I just want to, that we would just give our thanks to you, Lord, for your goodness to us, that we actually, we will learn that the first thing that we should do is not try to sort ourselves out, but actually to turn to you and to look to you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Amen, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Bless thy name. Father, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And we have been enriched by your word to our hearts, and also for your presence, that each of us, Lord, over this weekend have been encouraged and blessed, and have known and will continually know the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we go away with strength, Lord, Father, for each one knowing that you are our refuge, and Father, that you are our helper. Glory to God. Father, thank you. Hallelujah. May we know, Lord, that true presence of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, within our hearts leading, that we may be walking in the Spirit.
Amen.
praying in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, and so forth. Glory to God. And knowing, Lord, that there are battles day by day, but let us put on, let us put on the whole armor of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. Praise be unto you, O Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.